In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. I really ask you for prayers for my brother. He's gone to the hospital today to get chemo. We pray that the Lord Jesus Christ would strengthen him, that the Lord Jesus Christ would heal him, that the Lord Jesus Christ would take him and make him filled with God. He has turned to the Lord, and that's a wonderful thing. But you see, I still believe in miracles. I still believe in miracles. Last week, the doctor told us that he was going to live a couple of days. Well, he's lived over a week. And we need a miracle today. And only Jesus can do it. So please pray for Anthony. That's all I can ask, is to pray for Anthony and to pray for me in the name of Jesus. I'm looking at the 21st chapter of St. Luke and the 25th verse. "And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity. The sea and the waves will be roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming upon the earth, for the powers of the heaven shall be shaken." Oh yes, the powers of the heaven shall be shaken. I remember receiving a word of God many years ago. It went like this. "As the horseman holds on to the saddle, the horn of the saddle, so I ask you to hold on to me, for the world is about to be shaken." I'll never forget that word, because I was not expecting that. I was expecting a nice word, just to hold on to Jesus. The world is about to be shaken. And if the world is about to be shaken, we need to hold on to Jesus. We need to be with Jesus. We need to love Jesus. We need to pray with faith. The world is about to be shaken. I tell you, this is a word that the Bible talks about, and that people will lose it when the world is shaken. "And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draws near at hand." Oh yes, the redemption is in blood, in the blood of Jesus. "And he spoke to them a parable. Behold the fig tree." Now the fig tree is a symbol of Israel. "And all the trees, when they now shoot forth, you say with yourselves that summer is near at hand. So likewise, when you see these things come to pass, you know that the kingdom of God is near at hand. Truly, truly, I say to you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." I tell you, when God speaks a word through Jesus or through the prophets, they will come to pass. Jeremiah told the people of Israel, because of their worshiping false gods, that they were going to Babylon for 70 years. That was the word of God. But the priests said, "Oh no, we have the temple, and we won't be there 70 years. Just don't unpack your bags." Well, Jeremiah said, "Unpack your bags, marry wives, go to work, because this city depends upon you." I tell you, 70 years passed before they were taken back to Israel and to Jerusalem. When God speaks a word, I tell you, it will be fulfilled. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with overeating and drunkenness and the cares of this life, so that they come upon you unawares, unexpectedly. Listen, don't worry about this life. Don't worry about this life, what you're going to eat or what you're going to drink, what you're going to put on. Don't worry about these things. God knows you need them, and He will present them to you. You will have what you need. But let's keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. Just like the Greeks who came to the Passover feast, they said, "We want to see Jesus." That should be our cry. We want to see Jesus. We want to behold Jesus. We want to be close to Jesus. When the world is about to be shaken, we need to hold on to the hand of Jesus. For as a snare shall it be, you know, that's quick, and come on all of them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Jesus said that it'll be like a thief in the night when He comes. There'll be no warning. He will come like a thief in the night. The thief comes when everyone's in bed. The thief comes when everyone is asleep. He doesn't write to you and say, "I'm coming on Wednesday evening." No, He makes His mark when everything is quiet, when people are in bed. And you don't know when the thief is coming. It will be like that when the Son of Man comes. That's what the Word of God says. Watch, therefore, and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. Yes, to be able to stand before Jesus. Only because we've been washed in His blood. Only because the blood has made atonement for our sins. This is reality. This is reality. This is reality. And not many people know this, that we can only stand before the throne of God because the blood of God has made its mark on our lives. This is reality. People don't talk about the blood anymore. I don't understand it. Yet in the office readings, we always talk about the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus. And in that day, time that He was teaching in the temple, at night He went out and abode in the mount that is called the Mount of Olives. The Mount of Olives is Jesus' place to pray, Jesus' place to commune with the Father. Now the Mount of Olives is bigger than Mount Zion. And as you are on the top of the Mount of Olives, you're looking into the holy city of Jerusalem. As you are on the top of the Mount of Olives, you're looking into the holy city of Jerusalem. You can hear Jesus cry, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I have longed to take you under my wings like a mother hen, but you would not come." Oh, He cried over to the city of Jerusalem. It was His city, and it is His city. And all the people came early in the morning to Him in the temple to hear Him. Chapter 22 of Luke. Now the feast of unleavened bread drew near, which is called Passover. And the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might kill Jesus, for they feared the people. Then entered Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being of the number of 12. And he went his way and communed with the chief priests and the captains how he might betray Jesus unto them. And they were glad, and they covenanted to give him money. In other words, that as we have made a plan to take Jesus, here, this is money, the silver that he was given, I think 30 pieces of silver. And he promised and sought opportunity to betray Jesus unto them, in the absence of the multitude. In other words, to betray Jesus when the people and the crowd weren't around. Why? Because the crowd were calling Jesus King of the Jews, calling Jesus a prophet, calling Jesus someone who raises the dead. I'm telling you, it's the Iscariot wants to get Jesus when there aren't many people around. This is the way it is, because the crowd would be vehemently opposed to it. How the crowd could change, how the crowd could change. Then came the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed. That's the lamb. And he sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and prepare for us the Passover, that we may eat." They said unto Jesus, "Where do you want us to prepare?" And he said unto them, "Behold, when you enter into the city, there shall be a man who will meet you. He will be carrying a pitcher of water on his head. Follow him into the house where he enters in." Now you see, the women were the only ones that fetched the water. So this would be a big, big sign that the man was fetching the water. Follow him, because he's going to lead you to the house where we're going to feast on the Passover lamb, and to remember that we were slaves of Egypt and that the Lord delivered us. Let's continue. And they said unto him, "Where will you have us prepare?" Behold, when you enter the city, there shall be a man bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house where he enters in. And you shall say unto the owner of the house, "Master, said unto thee, where is the guest chamber where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples?" And he shall show you a large upper room furnished. There, make ready the Passover. That's the cenacle. I love that place. Of all the places in Jerusalem and in all the places of Israel, I love the place of the Passover. Let me tell you what happened one day. One day, we were in there with our 35 pilgrims, and not only 35 pilgrims, but people from all other nations were in there with us. And I started praying in tongues, and everybody started to worship God in their own language or in the spirit. It was Pentecost all over, that God was doing it in that place. And then I began to read from the second chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. I'm telling you, I love that cenacle. I love that place where Jesus celebrated the Last Supper, and where Jesus came and breathed on the apostles and said, "Whose sins you forgive shall be forgiven. Whose sins you retain shall be retained." And they went and found it just as the Lord had said to them, and they made ready the Passover. And when the hour had come, he sat down with the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto the 12, "I have desired with great desire to eat this Passover with you before I suffer." See, he knows. He knows that he's going to suffer. Oh yes, that's why he came into the world. "For I say unto you, I will not any more eat of the Passover until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." And he took a cup and gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come." And he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given up for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Now the word remembrance means to make present. The Greek word remembrance means to make present. It isn't remember with your brain. It is to make present. "This is my body, which is given up for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, also the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. But behold, the hand of him that betrays me is with me on the table. And truly the Son of Man goes as it was determined. But woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed." And they began to inquire among themselves which of them it was that should do this thing to Jesus. Well, it's very interesting. In the next passage, we're going to see why Jesus had to die. You know, here they've eaten the Last Supper. They've eaten the body and blood of the Lord. They've eaten the Passover. And now we see that they should be filled with humility. But that's not exactly what happens. "And there was also a strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest." Now this is sick. They have no idea what Jesus has just done. They have no idea that Jesus is the one who is the head and has washed their feet. They have no idea. They're fighting among themselves who is the greatest. You see, that's why Jesus had to die, to take all that part of our ugly hearts into himself. "For when I am lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself." This is really sad. It's really sad that these things that are happening. They should know better. They have been with Jesus, and he has made himself humble. But no, they're into who's going to be the greatest. "And he said unto them, Kings and Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they exercise authority upon them, and they are called benefactors. But you shall not be so. But he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger. And he that is chief, as he, let him be one who serves. For whether is greater, he that sits at meat or he that serves? Is not he that sits at meat? But I have come among you, and I have come as your servant. Yes, are they which have continued with me in my temptations, in my trials? And I appoint unto you a kingdom, as my Father hath appointed unto me, that you may eat and drink at my table in the kingdom, and sit on thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." Remember what we say at the Eucharist. This is the body of Christ. Behold the Lamb of God. Behold him who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are those called to the supper of the Lamb. This is what he's talking about. The supper of the Lamb, that you may eat and drink at my table in the kingdom, and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Verse 31 of chapter 22. "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you, that your faith may not fail. And when you are converted, you are to strengthen your brethren." In other words, you know, the devil has desired to have Peter, have Simon, but Jesus has prayed for him. We saw that Simon betrayed Jesus 3 times. "But when you have strengthened yourself, strengthen your brethren." And he said unto him, "Lord, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death." And Jesus said, "I tell you, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before you shall 3 times deny that you know me." And he said unto them, "When I sent you without a purse and without a scrip and without shoes, did you lack anything?" And they said, "Nothing." Then said Jesus unto them, "But now he that has a purse, let him take it. Likewise he that has a scrip, and he that has no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. For I say unto you that this is that what is written must yet be accomplished in me. And he was reckoned among transgressors for the things concerning the end. And they said, Lord, behold, here are two swords. And he said to them, enough. I tell you, the apostles had no clue, and they're just like us. We are called to be with Jesus in his suffering and in his victory. We are called to be with Jesus in his suffering and in his victory. The Catholic Church celebrates Holy Thursday, that's next week at 7:30, with the institution of the Eucharist and the institution of the priesthood. Then on Friday, the victory of the cross. Then on Saturday, the resurrection of Jesus. Hallelujah. We want to be with Jesus in his sorrow and in his victory. We want to be with him, even that he is with us and we are with him. We do not want to say with the apostles, please, who's the greatest of the land? It's me, because we have two, James and John. No. Jesus said, I have come as one who serves. You should be doing the same thing. I'm your master, and yet I have come as one who serves. I have come as one who serves. Let's look at that 13th chapter of St. John. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, and he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them until the end. Oh, yes. He loved these stupid apostles. You know, he loved them till the end, even on the cross when they ran away. And supper now was ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all these things into his hands, and that he was coming from God, and that he was going back to God, he rose up from the supper, laid aside his garments, took a towel, and girded himself. After that he began to pour water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet. You see, Jesus came as a servant, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded, till the towel was around his waist. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter said unto him, Lord, do you wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do you do not know now, but you shall know hereafter. Peter said unto Jesus, you shall never wash my feet. This is a very important thing. Jesus answered him, if I do not wash you, you have no part of me. Now Jesus is speaking about the blood. If I do not wash you in my blood, you have no part of me. Not only your feet, but if I do not wash you in my blood, you have no part in me. Simon Peter then said unto the Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. And Jesus said unto him, he that is washed needs not save to wash his feet, but is clean everywhere. And you are clean, but not all of you. For he knew who would betray him. Therefore he said, you are clean, but not all of you. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments, he set them down again and said to them, know you what I have done to you? You call me Master and Lord, and you say well, for that's exactly who I am. But if I, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, and you shall do as I have done to you. You see, this is Jesus. This is Jesus. This is Jesus. Jesus the servant. Jesus the slave, really. And he says, what I have done, I want you to do. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done unto me according to your word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Today, on the 25th of March, we celebrate that day when the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. It is 9 months to Christmas, so we mark this day as the Word becoming flesh and dwelling among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Again, I ask you to pray for my brother Anthony. Double up your prayers, that he be strengthened, that the Lord do with him what he wants, that if he's got to die, that he die at the moment Jesus wants him, not 1 moment before or 1 moment after, but pray for his health. God bless you.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.